7 months ago, a couple of very helpful people, a couple power tools and a lot of zip ties and I gathered together in the fellowship hall of this congregation. We then made our way up several flights of stairs, up a ladder with a lot of hoisting ropes, and unfurled what I like to think of as 200 square feet of prophetic witness. Our big banner has been up for 7 months now, hanging on the side of our congregation. This giant banner has been featured in the local paper. It has been highlighted by several major online news outlets and blogs and been the subject of countless photographs. It's amazing in the summer to watch people just stop their cars or their walks and grab their phones and take a picture, wondering where it's getting shared and to whom it's being told about. In fact, just this week, it was picked up by two more blogs in the liberal Christian sphere, and we ended up seeing over 900 unique visitors to our website just this week, people visiting the page describing and talking about that banner. Now, I mean, we're not Google, but 900 visits is a lot for us in a single week. But the thing about this banner is it isn't just about sending a message out. This big banner has also brought new relationships in. I know of 5 different families or households that are here because of that banner. And those are just the people that have told me. One of my favorite quotes in such a conversation was, "Well, I looked up at that banner and I thought, those are all the reasons I thought I wasn't welcome at church. But I knew I'd be welcome here." We chuckle. But that's a real thing. A number of people who hold beliefs along those lines think, I will be judged, I will not be welcome. That's not what Christianity is about. And here we are, by claiming the scriptures and the life of Jesus, saying, no, this is exactly what we are about. I don't know the last time you looked up and read what was on it, but allow me to give you a quick reminder. This is a church where our hearts, minds, and doors are open. Black lives matter. Science is real. Women's rights are human's rights. No human is illegal. Diversity is beautiful. Muslim, Jewish, atheist, all are our neighbors. Love is love. This banner on the side of our building in its statements remind me of a very beautiful scripture from 1 Chronicles. Now, 1 Chronicles is not a book you often hear preached from, mainly because it's actually a history of histories. They took, the author of Chronicles took all of the Jewish history in all of the books of the Hebrew Bible and basically retells the entire thing in short form, which means when you hear people talk about, oh yeah, the list of so-and-so begat so-and-so, that's usually they're talking about Chronicles. It is nothing but a list of lists. Here's this book, the Hebrew Bible, that retells everything from Adam and Eve through Abraham and Moses and King David, and yet in the middle of all of this storytelling, it reminds us of why we tell the story. It reminds us of why this heritage and history is so important. As it tells the story of God's people, there is a wonderful moment of gratitude and commitment. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Share the news of God's saving work every single day. Declare God's glory among the nations. Declare God's wondrous works among all people, because the Lord is great and worthy of praise. God is awesome beyond all other gods, because all of the gods of the nations are just idols, but it is the Lord who created heaven. Greatness and grandeur are before the Lord. Strength and joy are in God's place. Give to the Lord, all families of the nations, give to the Lord glory and power. Give to the Lord the glory due God's name. Bring gifts. Enter his presence. Bow down to the Lord in all of God's holy splendor. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth. For yes, God set the world firmly in place, and it will not be shaken. Let heaven celebrate. Let the earth rejoice. Let the nations say, the Lord rules. Let the sea and everything in it roar. Let the countryside and everything in it celebrate. Then the trees of the forest will shout out joyfully before the Lord, for God is coming to establish justice on earth. Give thanks to the Lord because God is good, because God's faithful love endures forever. Now, I'll tell you, when I write my sermons, I usually just sit with my Bible open and I read them and I write them and I go back and forth. I've really got to start reading scripture out loud when I'm preparing a sermon. Because when you read it out loud, certain things just jump out at you in a way that you didn't end up writing into the sermon. To hear some of these beautiful pieces, to be reminded that God is present. The invitation to share every single day. The confirmation that God is here and nothing can shake that. These are beautiful things to hear said aloud. The emphasis of this scripture. Declare God's glory among the nations. Declare God's wondrous works among all people, because the Lord is great and worthy of praise. I see our banner fulfilling that invitation, declaring God's glory and wonderful works among all people. Because when I think of a God that is revealed in such inclusive and loving statements, I'm reminded why we worship. Because that is a God I can believe in. That's a God I am proud of. A God that loves all people. And I know I'm not alone. When I took the draft of our banner design to our leadership, I've never been told yes so quickly and so often when it came to church process. Hey, I wanted to have you... Oh, absolutely. Do you want to hear about... Nope, do it. Okay. Many of these conversations in the hallway, hey, look, I wanted to this week. Go, oh, I love it. I heard about it. Go do it. Okay. I'm grateful that our leadership was so swift to affirm these statements. Not only just the statements, but also the placement and the investment in the banner. I'm grateful. And grateful is a word that really anchors how I feel about everything here. It's the gratitude that I hear in our scripture. Did you hear it about bringing forth gratitude for all that God does? Give thanks to the Lord because God is good and God's love endures forever. I want to, just like the invitation of that scripture, sing praise. I want to share the good news. I want to declare the glory of what God is doing through each of you in this place. God is doing great things in this place, and they happen through you when you offer what you have and what you do and even more who you are. You see, I'm grateful that God is doing great things, not just through some words on the side of our building, but through the many and countless ways we are working to live into those statements every day. It's very easy to print something out and hang it somewhere. It is very challenging to live with integrity into those statements. Every single statement on that banner has a story and a ministry to go along with it. I think about the statement, Black Lives Matter, a statement I ran by our local chapter of Black Lives Matter before we included it, not so much asking permission, but allowing them to know this is a hope and a dream of ours that we could live into this with integrity. They said, thank you, and keep working. One of our lay leaders and I have actually been learning some new perspectives on racism, some new strategies to combat racism through relationships and conversations over at Shorter African Methodist Episcopal Church. I'm actually building a relationship with their pastor so that we can go deeper in this work in the future. You don't just get to show up to work on racism and be like, hey, we haven't really been paying attention until now, but we want in. This takes investment. It takes commitment. And we can't make it if we aren't going to follow through. That's one of the greatest sins of those seeking to fight racism when it's, oh, it's a good topic. Let's talk about it now. Oh, we're done. We're moving on to something else. We're investing ourselves in relationship to demonstrate that black lives matter. I think about the statement that science is real and just give thanks for our green team who addresses the realities of our planet every single day and week that we use this building. A team of people who enable our congregation to model high standards of what it is to minimize your footprint in this world. Our lower energy use, our lower landfill output, our increased biking, the feeding people through harvesting in gardens. These just seem like good things. They seem like logical things, but they're also statements we make that the science behind these things is real and matters. I think about women's rights being human rights. And not only did a quarter of our average worship attendance march in January at the Women's March together, it was so fun to keep bumping into people. Oh, you're here, you're here, you're here, you're here. It's so neat to be surrounded by so many familiar faces. Do you know we're also blessed by strong female leadership within our congregation? There are 16 chairperson or co-chairperson roles in our congregation. 13 of them are held by women. This congregation knows what it is to have strong female leadership and has. I don't know if you noticed, last week as we were reflecting on the history of the congregation, one of the lines in the call to worship that walked through, the reason we have land to even have a building on is because the women sitting around with everybody said, you know what, we're going to do something about this. It was the women of the congregation who held a potluck at the in the intersection of 32nd and Perry, a big spaghetti dinner, to raise the money so that we could even begin to have a community together, a place to call home. I think about that idea that no human being is illegal. In late June, I was down in Mancos, Colorado, near Mesa Verde in the Four Corners. I was representing our congregation as a little Methodist church in Mancos, Colorado, held a press conference with national media there, announcing that they were holding a woman in sanctuary to keep her from being deported. In fact, just a few weeks ago, the chair of our Church and Society Committee was over at Park Hill United Methodist Church right here in Denver, meeting with their leadership, engaging in conversation of how we can support them as a network of people together as they keep a wonderful woman from being deported. Oh, that statement that diversity is beautiful. Now, this is one we continue to grow into. As we continue to grow in diversity, I'm grateful for our growing relationship with the Latino LGBTQ community. This was something that just almost came out of nowhere as I got the invitation to work with Latino Pride, and now their coordinators have asked us to help host an event called Dia de los Niños. There's a Mother's Day, there's a Father's Day, and there's a Children's Day that they host, as they provide much-needed services, everything from dental work and physical exams and bouncy castles. Those are all on the same level of necessity if you're five. They provide these things, and they said, we need a place. Can we talk with your congregation? Yeah. You can talk with our congregation. I'm grateful for the intergenerational diversity that our congregation holds, that we're blessed by people in different moments in life. And it's so important that our gatherings reflect that, that we don't just have, oh, the group of the older folks and the group of the young folks. And no, we need to be together, that we're sharing and learning back and forth, always adding to what one another have in our lives and experiences together. I also give thanks for the ways our Faith in Action team leads us to house families without homes as we look and tackle the serious issue of income diversity and the growing financial divide in this world. I think about the Muslim, Jewish, atheist neighbors that we are building a relationship with. You may not know all of the ways we live into our interfaith relationships because when we host gatherings for the Jewish community, we don't invite ourselves. We offer space. And that's what we can do. We host weekly Hebrew classes for Jewish children in the community. We host bi-monthly seders. They call it a tat Shabbat. They let me come every once in a while to be with them as children learn the history and heritage and the songs and the food and the culture that make up their religious and cultural background. We provide space for neighborhood people of different religions when they need a holy day gathering space. And then there's this new relationship we have with CARE, the Council for American Islamic Relations, bringing this amazing opportunity for us not only to learn about their traditions, but to grow in relationship and learn how we can stand in solidarity with the people who are being persecuted for their faith. And you know, when we feed hungry people in the park each month, there is no distinction between hungry people who believe in the same God we do and hungry people who do not. God doesn't separate these folks, neither do we. There's no litmus test to receive service or care. It's one of the things that makes United Methodist Outreach so unique. We don't do it to change what people believe. We do it because of what we believe. And then that beautiful statement that love is love. This has been a cornerstone of what God is building here for a long time. I mean, we as a church celebrate Pride Month as a liturgical season. We continue to push and pull, if not drag, the United Methodist Church into a place of full inclusion, not simply by doing same-gender weddings, but by learning and sharing how people can read the Bible faithfully and still be inclusive. We're learning so that we can educate others. And of course, there's that line at the top about our hearts, minds, and doors being open. I mean, this is the tagline of the United Methodist Church, and it generally focuses on being open, creating space for those who might come in. But I love how this congregation demonstrates that open doors are meant to be walked through. Open minds are meant to go out and build new relationships and understandings. Open hearts shouldn't just be waiting here for someone to come in looking for someone who cares, that we should be present and active. And as we spend these next few weeks considering what God will do through us next, I pray we can be open to what God is inviting us to do. Everything we do here to build a home where all belong is supported and funded by you. All of it because of your generosity. When you, like our scripture says, respond out of your gratitude with generosity, great things happen. And let me tell you, God has great plans for us to grow into next. We've actually begun gathering the plans for next year from all of our teams and committees as they have dreamed and discerned. It's so fun to be copying on every one of those emails as one of our team says, okay, here's what we think God wants us to do next. And as we've gathered and collected these, with that done, we can tell you, our finance team and our leadership will continue to look at this, but I'm grateful to our finance chairperson, Wendy Folger, who sits with me as we go through spreadsheet after spreadsheet, preparing and doing the work to be responsible in how we care for our ministries here. And I can tell you that looking at 2018, we are only $20,000 away from what we need to fully fund our 2018 ministry. That's assuming if everything stays the same this year. With $20,000 in growth, we can do everything that's been dreamt. Now, not only does the 2018 plan for ministry include growth in every single program ministry area, all of our teams doing new things, every single one of them increasing outreach and service, it also includes things like live captioning and translation for worship, care for our century-old building as we continue to tend to decades worth of deferred maintenance, improving our space and making sure it'll be tended to well in the future. It includes ways for all of us to serve others while growing in relationship together. But the biggest dream for the 2018 plan for ministry includes the addition of a half-time associate pastor onto our staff. I tell you, for all of our growth over the last 5 years, a 114% increase in attendance, incredibly expanded ministries and programs, our staffing levels are actually slightly lower than they were 5 years ago. We have less time being put in to doing more ministry. And as we build a home where all belong, we need another set of hands to help lead our work and offer care for those who are here. Our staff parish relations committee has identified key areas that an associate pastor could care for, bringing more attention to the relationships who make us who we are, helping develop and nurture small groups, a Bible study, life studies, topical studies, offering another layer of pastoral care when people are in need, caring for the new and potential relationships the garage will introduce us to. It is amazing. Honestly, the job description could easily be full-time, but we've had to pick. If we only have half-time, what might we do? And I tell you, it is entirely possible for everything, all of the ministry dreams, the increased staffing, to be a part of our 2018 plan for ministry. We are not that far away from what we need to make these dreams a reality. And grounding ourselves in gratitude for what God is already doing is where we begin this process. You see, choosing to offer what we have and what we do and who we are does not and should not come from a place of obligation. True offering comes from a place of joyous gratitude and prayerful consideration. And I give thanks for the ways you're already doing so, because it is making a difference in the lives of the people that call Highlands home. Your generosity and support is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors in this immediate community and all across Denver. It's making a difference across the state and throughout the United States and even around the world. I look forward to sharing with you some of the emails and conversations I get as people look to the work of this congregation as an example of what God is calling faithful people to do and be. Because building a home where all belong matters. That is why today and every day, just as our scripture says, we seek to declare God's glory among the nations, to declare God's wondrous works among all people, because the Lord is great and so worthy of praise. May that be our story. Amen.